really spearheaded all of this is going to start, and then we'll pick up on the end. And we did have handouts. I'm hoping that there were sufficient other people around.
Right, and again, my thanks to all of you for coming this morning, and also to Dr. Wilburn, who allows those of us who work in the field to try to increase services and work in a rural setting to really share, hopefully, some lessons we've learned and to learn from you all as well. Our project really was to look at a segment of our community that needed access to care, and that community was chronically ill, uninsured adults in rural Nassau County. We had some basic programs already in place. We had a mobile van project, a primary care project, and case management and drug assistance program, but we really needed to add more services, and that's where a couple of other things were added, including specialty care and mental health services, health education, disease self-management, and a pilot with telehealth, trying to see if those new technologies could really improve access in a rural setting. I come from a community that is northeast Florida, north of Jacksonville, Florida. It's a coastal community, and so as typical of Florida, the coastal community is very resource-rich on the eastern side. The further you get inland, then the resources really start to dwindle. So our community is a combination of, again, a coastal community, a suburban community in the middle, and then toward the west, hence named Western Nassau Rural Health, really becomes more and more typical of communities that are underserved and have limited access. In looking at our health needs, we found that our mortality rates, particularly for chronic diseases, exceeded the state averages in like 10 to 12 of them. There's no public transportation, and likewise, the western parts of our community are HIPAA designated areas. There's very limited health professionals in that area. We addressed this need by forming partnerships between several agencies that were already safety net providers. The County Health Department, whom I represent, two hospitals, the Community Mental Health Agency, and social service organizations. We built on this mobile health collaborative that had been in place for about 3 years and applied for, I'm glad that folks from the Office of Rural Health Policy are here. They're the ones that really got us going with the HRSA award and a Rural Health Outreach Project grant in 2003. And again, we sought to build more services and to really focus it on the western part of our community and to add these new services. Our target population, which is coming up in a little bit, really was the, again, uninsured low-income adults. There's about 130 of them that we targeted during this three-year period, and these are the most common diagnoses that we saw. And as we enrolled patients and got them into care, we tried to target specifically our enhanced services, our diabetes self-management courses, our health education courses that would really suit this population more. The demographics of the population really mirror the population that we serve in our community. It's predominantly white. The population we did serve, though, was really to look at the working adults or the adults that didn't qualify for insurance, either through Medicare or that were service workers who didn't have access to full coverage. Mostly female, again, and as you can see, the poverty level there, low income. Our population, partners, which are on the next slide. Again, the health department is a state and county agency that I represent, and we've been really anchors in the community for several years as far as primary care. However, we had to centralize some of our services, and that really impacted the western part of our community when we had to centralize our services. We sought to, again, bring services out there with the help of our hospital partners. We have in-county 54-bed hospital, that's Baptist Medical Center in Nassau, and we also have a regional hospital who has a charitable arm that provides the mobile health services. We also partnered with the behavioral health agency in our community, a social service agency, and again, several partners, including the funding from the Rural Health Outreach Grant, as well as, of course, involving, when you're talking about specialty care, you have to involve the private sector physicians and providers there as well. The goals, again, we'll go through these quickly. Really to get these folks, identify them first through outreach, get them into a medical home that started on the mobile health clinic, and then bring to them the additional resources that we felt was needed to improve their health and to address their chronic disease conditions. The objectives, again, in addition to the getting them started in a medical home, is really to look at some of the things that they may not have been able to get in their rural community. Mental health, medical subspecialty care, dental vision care. We also wanted to build an infrastructure to really pilot and look at how can we use telehealth. Again, when our healthcare providers are on the east side of the community, how can we perhaps link them using telehealth to get some of those services out to the communities there? And again, also to provide transportation assistance. The service components, there's the van on the bottom. It's pretty impressive with regard to what you can do in a limited space. That van was used primarily for outreach to begin with. We would do blood pressure screens, flu shots, school physicals, trying to engage the community. And then once that happened, we would bring them in, identify that target population that would look for primary care, assign them to the case manager who is really the hub of the project. The van comes and goes, but that nurse was there in the community to provide services for those folks when the van isn't there. And then also to provide health education, special classes. Included, again, as we looked at the diseases that we were diagnosing and treating, diabetes self-management and tobacco cessation, nutrition, physical activity. And lastly, the telehealth component, I have to admit, came in kind of late. As you can imagine, sometimes when with regard to technology and looking at wide spaces, the connectivity issues were a particular challenge. You're looking at different telephone companies and connectivities, and how do we get all that to work together to finally get what we had hoped to roll out in a very short period of time. It took a lot longer. But in the end, I think we were able to build a good base for that. Next slide. Really, these are the evaluation questions, and Dr. Woman is going to take it from here to look at what our findings were. Did we provide the services we needed to this target population? Did we improve their health? And when we provided the services, they value it and see it as high quality. So I'm going to turn that over to her to share those results.
Before I really talk about the evaluation results, I'd really like to share very briefly what we think is a very wonderfully working collaborative effort between the university and between all of our rural health agencies. And since we've talked a lot about nursing, I'd also like to share that we have a very strong collaborative effort in the nursing program, which is, you know, I think kind of new state of the art. And I'm not in the nursing program, but I have a strong respect for what they are attempting to do and how we're trying to create a bridge. And I think collaboration is one way to do it, and that's what we've done here, as we will talk about. And I also would like to thank HRSA for when these grants are provided, one of the things that is oftentimes a missing link when we do service demonstration grants is the evaluation part. And that is, how do we know if the process is being implemented in the way we believe it should be done, and if it's effective, and then how do we know what the outcome is? And so what we've done in working with the Nassau County Health Department was to develop an evaluation plan and then go about business of trying to put on evaluation hats rather than researcher hats. Because when you're working within community like that, they run the show, as rightfully they should. And so we have to work around what it is we're able to do. So here are the questions, and here are some of the results. The first thing we wanted to know was, did the project provide primary medical services to the target population at the identified service level? And what we found was during this 3-year period of time, the project did serve its target population of 130 low-income, uninsured, adult, rural residents. The services that were provided, as you can see, 900 mobile health visits. The mobile health unit was really a wonderful opportunity. 3,600 case management services and 818 medical subspecialty services. The next slide, and I'm hoping most of you have handouts as well, really shows the differences between primary care and specialty care. And the question we asked there was, did the project provide the primary medical services to the target population, again, at the identified level? And you can see that the majority of what was provided and what was critically important was the case management services. And then that was complemented with and was inclusive of the mobile health visits. Then when we looked at specialty care, we asked basically the same question. Were the specialty care services provided in the way that they should have been to the identified population? And you can see again that they were 64%. We also had mental health services, and we'll talk a little bit about some of the challenges with those services, and then of course dental health services. So now we look at the specific evaluation results, and we asked the question, did the project provide medical services to the target population, again, at the identified service level? And you can see from the list that we're talking 58 individuals, but this shows you the intensity of need in rural health, that they actually received 676 medical subspecialty services. And again, 107, and this was one of our emphases, was on the diabetes self-management program. Transportation is always typically a problem. Although those numbers were low, it still does remain somewhat of a problem in rural health. Dental health services is one of the most underserved services provided. And with a background eons ago as a dental hygienist, I can really relate to the fact that we are not providing sufficient dental health services. But there was an attempt here. And then with a forward-moving background in psychotherapy, one of the things that we see a lot in rural health is the lack of services in the mental health arena. The next slide really shows you the types of specialty care services that were provided. And it's slow to come, but it's here. Again, you know, if you look at the highest rate of services, they really fell in the oncology area. And Dr. Seidel can address that, but even the lowest rate was up in radiology. So we looked at what were the critical services that were needed, and this really demonstrates the degree to which they were done. In evaluation, one of the things we looked at closely was to look at the diabetes or the self-care management, weight management program, and we actually had four sessions, as you saw earlier. So we evaluated each session on a pre, post, and follow-up. What we've shown here are the pre-post results. What we found is in the overview session, you know, again, we saw statistically significant differences when people looked at whether or not they knew the risk factors for diabetes, and we thought this was a critical question, and the fact that there was a significant change was important, and also that they knew the cause of hypoglycemia and how that connected. In the diet section, again, food restriction showed significance. 50% of calories from protein and alcohol limits from women showed significance. Bless you. And then when we move on and we look at the medication section, we actually didn't see statistically significant differences in any of the questions, but what we saw, and why we wish that some of these grants were 5 years instead of three, what we did see is that they were beginning to move toward statistically significant differences. And then in the monitoring session, we did have one question, and that was, and we're really happy to see, was the recognition of the American Diabetes Association's local as a local resource. And again, we did see positive gains across the other questions where we didn't see statistically significant differences. We also asked about, the next question was there a difference in the improvement of the health status of patients served by the project? The major change we saw that was statistically significant was in glucose only, and so we did have a higher mean glucose value as noted on the final lab test that we did. We also looked, because it's critically important, if you cannot engage your target audience, guess what? They don't come back. And so we wanted to find out, you know, were we actually reaching the target audience with this self-management or self-care program, and did they see it as being of high quality and as being of value? And on the next slide, we can see that when you've got results that say 97% believe, agree, or strongly agree that this was a quality program and that it benefited them, then in fact we know it did. And that'll come up in just a moment. We also recognized, and when one of the questions we did ask on this satisfaction survey is, would you use this information, will you use what you've actually gained to improve your life? And in fact, again, that 97% said that they will use this information. What would be nice is if we can, you know, at some juncture soon get funding and go back and see if in fact they have continued to use this information. We also looked at mental health and telehealth, and I think the diabetes education via telehealth, as Dr. Seidel indicated, we were a little bit slower in getting that started, but in fact, it was actually quite successful. You know, once we got some of the glitches worked out, operationally, it was effective in that we were able to show people who could not come to the clinics or to the facility what was really happening and provide education in that mode. And what most people said was that if that were made available in video format, they would like a copy, that they would actually use that information beyond just participation in the telehealth. We had limited data to really assess the mental health, and so one of the things we did, again, we were really stressing collaboration. I had an undergraduate student who was doing her internship with Dr. Seidel's program to go through and interview all of the patients, that all of the residents that had actually been seen in mental health services. Let me reframe that. They actually interviewed several, those that we could access, that had had mental health services. So there was an interview of the case manager, the psychotherapist, and the clients who were receiving the services, and we put together some case studies. What we found from that is, in fact, we were servicing the appropriate population. And so we want to move forward from that and maybe investigate that more. It's a missing link. And as we draw to closure, what are some of the implementation changes that we might need to look at or that were challenges? Establishing that medical subspecialty referral network. And I've already heard several people talk about referral networks and the challenges in creating collaborative effort. And then, as I said a minute ago, underutilization of mental health services. You know, we know that it's critically important, but again, there's still some stigma attached. And then the telehealth, and that was getting all of the, you know, all of the technology together. And what are the lessons that we learned? Again, as a tribute to nursing and to nurses themselves, that there's a critical role for the nurse case manager, serving as the hub, because that nurse case manager really was kind of the core that kept everything going. The specialty network is built upon an existing and growing collaborative effort, and I just don't think we can do any of this alone. I think public health is collaborative. We had enhancements for recruiting new providers and a concentration on behavioral health needs, mental health services, and then, of course, my bias is that we need to integrate evaluation from beginning and never end. And then our contact information.
Thank you very much.